Chapter 17. Heralds of the Gospel. This chapter is based on Acts 13, verse 4 to 52, RSV. After their ordination, Paul and Barnabas went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Barnabas was a native of Cyprus, Acts 4, verse 36, RSV. And now he and Paul, accompanied by John Mark, a relative of Barnabas, visited this island. Cyprus was one of the places to which believers had fled because of persecution following the death of Stephen. Mark's mother was a convert, and the apostles were always sure of a welcome and rest in her home at Jerusalem. During one of these visits to his mother's home, Mark proposed to Paul and Barnabas that he accompany them on their missionary tour. He longed to devote himself to the work of the gospel. When the apostles had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet, named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, withstood them, seeking to turn away the proconsul from the faith. When Sergius Paulus was listening to the apostles, the forces of evil working through the sorcerer Elymas sought to turn him from the faith and so thwart the purpose of God. Thus the fallen foe works to keep in his ranks men of influence who might render effective service in God's cause. Paul had the courage to rebuke the one through whom the enemy was working. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. The sorcerer had closed his eyes to gospel truth, and the Lord, in righteous anger, caused his natural eyes to be closed. This blindness was only for a season, that he might repent and seek pardon of the God whom he had offended. The fact that he was obliged to grope about in blindness proved to all that the apostles' miracles, which Elymas had denounced as sleight of hand, were wrought by the power of God. The deputy, convinced, accepted the gospel. Those who preach the truth will meet Satan in many forms. It is the duty of the minister of Christ to stand faithful at his post in the fear of God. Thus he may put to confusion the hosts of Satan and triumph in the name of the Lord. Paul and his company continued their journey, going to Perga in Pamphylia. They encountered hardships and privations, and in the towns and cities and along lonely highways, they were surrounded by dangers seen and unseen. But Paul and Barnabas had learned to trust God's power. As faithful shepherds in search of lost sheep, forgetful of self, they faltered not when weary, hungry, and cold. Here, Mark, overwhelmed with fear and discouragement, unused to hardships, was disheartened. Amidst opposition and perils, he failed to endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross. He had yet to learn to face danger, persecution, and adversity with a brave heart. Losing all courage, he returned to Jerusalem. This caused Paul to judge Mark severely for a time. Barnabas was inclined to excuse him. He saw in him qualifications that would fit him to be a useful worker. In after years, the young man gave himself unreservedly to proclaiming the gospel in difficult fields. Under the wise training of Barnabas, he developed into a valuable worker. Paul and Mark later reconciled. Paul was afterward reconciled to Mark and recommended him to the Colossians as a fellow worker for the kingdom of God and a comfort to me. He spoke of Mark as profitable, very useful. Colossians 4, verse 11, 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, RSV. At Antioch in Pisidia, Paul and Barnabas on the Sabbath went to the Jewish synagogue. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." Being invited to speak, Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you that fear God, listen." Then he proceeded to give a history of how the Lord had dealt with the Jews and how a Savior had been promised. And he boldly declared that God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had preached a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie." Thus, with power, he preached Jesus as the Messiah of prophecy. Paul speaks plainly.
Paul said, "Brethren, those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him, nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these prophecies by condemning him." Paul did not hesitate to speak the truth concerning the Jewish leaders. "Though they could charge him with nothing deserving death," the apostle declared, "yet they asked Pilate to have him killed. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people." "And we bring you the good news," the apostle continued. "God raised him from the dead. And now Paul preached repentance and remission of sin through the merits of Jesus, their Savior. By him, everyone that believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." The apostle's appeal to Old Testament prophecies and his declaration that these had been fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth carried conviction. And the speaker's assurance that the glad tidings were for Jew and Gentile alike brought hope and joy. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism accepted the good news that day. Paul and Barnabas urged them to continue in the grace of God. The interest aroused by Paul's discourse brought together the next Sabbath almost the whole city to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted what was spoken by Paul, and reviled him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken first to you, since you thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Thus the word of the Lord spread throughout all the region. Centuries before, the pen of inspiration had traced this ingathering of the Gentiles. See Hosea 1 verse 10, 2:23. The Savior himself foretold the spread of the gospel among them. See Matthew 21 verse 43. And after his resurrection, he commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Mark 16 verse 15, Matthew 28 verse 19, RNZV. The Gentiles see the light. Later, in important centers,
Paul and his companions preached the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles. But their chief energies were henceforth directed toward heathen peoples who had little or no knowledge of the true God and of his Son. Through the untiring ministrations of the apostles to the Gentiles, those separated from Christ who once were far off learned that they had been brought near in the blood of Christ, and through faith they might become members of the household of God. Ephesians 2, verse 12, 13, 19. RNZV. To those who believe, Christ is a sure foundation. This living stone is broad enough and strong enough to sustain the weight and burden of the whole world. The apostle wrote, "You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." Ephesians 2, verse 19, 20, RNZV. As the gospel spread in Pisidia, the unbelieving Jews, in their blind prejudice, incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, and stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out from that district. The apostles were not discouraged. They remembered the words of their master, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew 5, verse 12, RNZV. The gospel message was advancing.